Good morning. We're calling to order this Wednesday, May 24th, 2017 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Ava Ater Taylor, who's at the controls as the executive secretary for the hearing today. Apologies for being late. Must be so much construction in the city. I wish someone could do something about that. Some background information on the variance hearing process. The applicant and/or owners will be allowed 5 minutes to present their arguments as to how the 5 findings necessary to justify granting a variance have been met. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. If there's any public testimony in opposition, then the sponsor is allowed a 3-minute rebuttal. Planning Code Section 305C establishes 5 findings that are necessary for justify granting a variance. All 5 findings must be met to justify granting the variance. Finding number 1 is that there are exceptional or extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class of district. Finding number 2, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of this code would result in practical difficulty or a necessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number 3, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number 4, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number 5, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. No decision is final till the decision letter is issued. That's why it's important to sign in on the sign-in sheet on the far wall. By doing so, we will send you a copy of the variance decision letter, and the decision can be appealed within 10 days of issuance to the Board of Appeals. Due to current backlogs, it may take up to 2 months for decision letters to be completed from the date of this hearing. Other notes, private conversations can be disruptive during the hearing. While we do encourage parties to meet and to discuss the cases, we ask that that be done outside to avoid disturbing others. Also, please turn off any cell phones during the hearing. The next regular scheduled variance hearing is June 28th. And also on recordings, audio recordings of these hearings are available on our website as a link on the hearing agenda. We do have a couple consent items. These are matters that are considered routine. If there is no public comment on these items, then they will be granted. So we can go into the consent calendar.
So we have 2 items. So the first consent calendar item, case number 2016-010667 VAR 65 Buena Vista Avenue East, exposure variance sought. Item number 2, case number 2017-000286 VAR 781 O'Farrell Street, exposure variance sought.
Is there any public comment on item number 1 for 65 Buena Vista Avenue East or item number 2, 781 O'Farrell Street? If there's no public comment for either of these items, they would be granted. Seeing no public comment on items 1 or 2, closing public hearing, inclined to grant the requested variances, and we can move on to the regular calendar,
item number 3, case number 2016-011388 VAR, 256 Casitas Avenue, front setback variance sought. The project sponsor here, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Good morning, Administrator Sanchez. My name is Gregory Boshi. I'm the architect for the project. I think you're well aware of the project and circumstances regarding what happened to this property. This project is a proposed single-family residence. It's replacing an existing residence which was demolished due to a landslide event caused by a water main break, and that was on January 28th. 2016. The proposed building is 2 stories over 2 subgrade levels with 3 habitable levels. The original building was a 1-story over 2 subgrade levels, but also 3 habitable levels of space. The items that we're asking variance for include a section of the front face of the building, which is a wedge shape, a thin wedge shape that is within the front setback. And it's only at this upper floor that it were required to have the variance for, because the original building envelope was on the same footprint, but only extended up one floor. So the way that the planning department has looked at it is that the variance only includes areas outside of the original envelope of the building. The other two elements that we're asking a variance for are the cornice projection at the front face of the building, which is just an 18-inch deep cornice at the top face of the building. And then there's a portion of the entry awning, which also extends approximately 1 foot beyond the envelope of the original building. The original building had a fairly deep overhang roof, and so the awning that we're creating in that area, a good portion of it is actually within that overhang area. I think if you have the drawings that were submitted with the sections pretty clear on there. If you'd like me to, I can put up on the screen as well. moving to the circumstances and hardships that are involved in the property, the emergency demolition is obviously a hardship that has that was caused by a circumstance out of everyone's control. That has required a big effort on the site stabilization of the property because of the landslide that occurred. There's pretty extensive, or very extensive, I should say, site stabilization work that has to have had to go gone on to allow that to become a buildable site again. We actually have our site, our structural engineer on hand if you'd like any other questions answered about that. So the structural system that was developed for the building is also the front face of the building. There are lateral resisting elements, shear walls essentially, that are placed directly over the site stabilization elements at the front face of the building. And this is placed exactly where the original building face was. If we were to break that or offset those elements, we'd substantially weaken or make a much more difficult building to build and make it more stable, or stable as we hope to. And therefore, that variance at the upper level is being asked for because of those reasons. One, that we have the original footprint that we're building in. Two, that we are having these shear walls that are aligned with that site stabilization element, and then as far as the cornice and awning elements, we do feel that these elements are adding. They're in the spirit of what in the section 136, which allows some obstructions within rear yard or front yard setbacks. These are elements which are lending both detail, scale, and some function to the front of the house. And we do feel that those are within the spirit of what those allowances are for within that section. And again, they help break down the scale of the front of the house and give it a detail that's in harmony with the surrounding neighborhood. regarding, and actually I'd also like to mention that we had several meetings with the planning department and building department leading up to the production of this design or development of this design, and we were directed, shall I go on?
If you could just wrap up that last thought.
Okay, please. We were directed specifically to build within the existing envelope. They actually had originally told us that that we would be able to build that two stories without having to go through a variance. It was later on at an interdepartmental meeting that it came to light that that variance would be required. Okay. So we actually gone a very long way down the road of developing this design and the site stabilization elements, which are critical to the stabilization of the site itself, okay. Which I want to add, are the placement of it is the most advantageous for the site and for the entire area.
Okay. In the way Thank you for developed. That. Okay. We'll see if there's any public comment on this
okay.
item.
Thank
item
you very
number
much.
3 for 256 Casitas Avenue. Any public comment on this item? Seeing no public comment, I'm aware that we did get opposition yesterday. Staff has informed me about of this, in particular from the downhill property owner to the back, and also a property owner a couple doors down. I would note this is a front setback variance. Actually, a code-compliant project can extend much closer to the rear property line than is being proposed under the current proposal, and it is consistent with the building footprint generally as previously existed, as well as the pattern of development on the block. So with that, I'm going to close the public hearing, inclined to grant the requested variance, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number four, case number 2017-00646 VAR, 1209 Schrader Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes.
Good morning, and thank you for hearing, our variance. My name is Jace Levinson. I'm principal of Jace Architecture, and we're working on 1209 Schrader Street. And the subject building is a three-level building. There's a garage and two flats stacked, and we are working on the middle flat, which again is 1209, and the intent of the project, which you don't see fully in the variance, is that we are trying to make a sort of convivial family space at the back of the house, which will be a kitchen, family room, and hopefully open to a deck in the rear yard. So the client could, enjoy family life and the attractive San Francisco weather in their backyard. While the lot itself is fairly standard at 25 by 100, the context is not. So to our north, we have two non-conforming lots. And to our west, at the rear, we have a property that is turned at 90 degrees. The result of this is that the average buildable area is sort of artificially short, and that the client does not benefit from mid-yard open space because the rear building is directly at the property line. So we think a deck that will be approximately 5 or 6 feet above grade is a really minor mitigation for the lack of mid-yard open space. It's a project that is, a wood frame deck, roughly 13 by 16, with a stair allowing direct access to the garden. It's, roughly 8 feet away from a property line to the south and further than that to the north. We are in the rear yard, but the existing structure is already in the rear yard, so we're not intensifying that in any significant way. It's really a project that is with almost no consequence, in our opinion. Buildings don't really look onto it. It doesn't change drainage or affect any structural issues, and it will provide great enjoyment for the owners. So we think this is within the spirit of what the planning code would want, which is to encourage reasonable development where it's appropriate and to give people the benefits of situations where unusual conditions may not otherwise permit it. So I think it's a modest project that I hope the planning department looks favorably upon.
Thank you. So the ground story is just for garage and storage. There's no habitable space there?
That's correct.
And then there is currently access from this floor to the rear yard, but they walk through a pantry to the stairs and then, get access to the rear yard.
That's right. They kind of go through a pantry and a kind of uncomfortable sort of rear, 1920s or 30s stair and a kind of not a very gracious connection to the backyard. So it doesn't really permit the use of the backyard.
And then this would otherwise be permitted as kind of the 12-foot pop-out under 136, except for the existing structure and stairs, which create that from not being possible under the code.
That's right.
Okay. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item, number four, for 1209 Schrader Street. Is there any public comment on item number 4 for 1209 Schrader? Seeing no public comment, close the public hearing. Inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that it does provide required usable open space that's directly accessible from the main living level of the unit in an otherwise code-compliant fashion, except for the existing non-compliant structure.
Moving to item number 5, case number 2016-015476 VAR, 326 Cap Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes.
Mr. Sanchez, good morning. I am Dennis Budd of Gast Architects. I am the project architect, and I'm here today with Cecilia and Brett Bachtel, the property owners. The proposal seeks to legalize and enlarge a dwelling unit in a legal one-unit building in an RTO zoning district. The legal front unit is rented. The Bachtels occupy the rear unit for which they seek to legalize and expand. This is a very unusual building. The envelope covers 100% of the lot. The front residence was constructed in 1900 according to tax assessment records, and the rear portion of which was constructed in 1926 as an automobile garage converted without permit to a small second unit sometime in the 1980s and was shown as pre-existing when Brett purchased the building in 2007. As you can see from the existing plans, the unit has just one real bedroom and lacks basic exposure and open space. Legalizing it as is would not address the open space or exposure issues and would not allow the Bachtels to have a normal second bedroom for their son Everett. The only way to meet all three goals, to add a second bedroom, provide open space and exposure, is with a rear yard variance, because placing an expansion in the buildable area is not possible without violating the front unit's open space, which matches up with the mid-block open space between the two buildings to the north. A second floor expansion in the buildable area also wouldn't have been very practical given the layout of both existing units. And so, because a Section 134 variance is required for the expansion, and because the proposal adds much more exposure than had previously existed, and adds substantial usable open space, we believe the variance process, rather than a Section 207.3 legalization that would have also required a rear yard variance, was the most straightforward manner in which to proceed. The front unit was and will remain under rent control, and should the Bachtels ever move out, the rear unit will also fall under the rent control ordinance. I'd like to introduce Cecilia and Brett so they can tell you a little bit about the project from their perspective.
Hello, good morning. We are Brett and Cecilia Bachtel. As Dennis mentioned, we're the owners of the property and the occupants of the unwarranted unit to which this project pertains. We are not developers. I personally originally moved into this property as a renter of the upstairs one-bedroom legal unit in 2001. I was single then, and the apartment was perfect for me at the time. 6 years later, my landlords, who lived in the lower unwarranted unit, decided to sell and offered the property to me first before listing on the open market. I loved the place and did everything I could to scrape the money together to take them up on it. Having the second unit as income producing made all the difference to me in being able to afford the property and the mortgage. As the years since have ticked by, the love for the neighborhood remains unchanged, but the dynamics of my, and now our, residency have undergone a huge transition. Cecilia and I met, fell in love, married, and now have two young sons, challenging in a good way everything that we thought we loved about our home. While we'd like nothing more than to stay put and raise our children here, the reality is that our home isn't large enough or really livable enough to accommodate children. The modest expansion we're seeking will allow legal and separate bedrooms for us and them, and dearly needed outdoor space for light, ventilation, and our overall well-being. We have tried with Dennis to design an expansion in a way that best fits with our neighbors. As far as we know, these neighbors have only been supportive, and we have several letters of support from them we'd like to hand in. We truly hope you can approve this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry if I missed this in your architect's presentation, but do you know when the illegal unit was added? You said you moved in 2001, and it was there at that time.
I moved in 2001. Yeah, it was occupied by the owners that I was renting from. They tell me that prior to their ownership, that it was also used as kind of like a live-work, apartment space. And unfortunately, I couldn't find any. I tried to dig back to see who else lived there before that to get a sense for just how long it had been that way. But it was, the early 80s, I guess, is as far as we could go back to confirm anything as far as like when it was converted to living.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, sure. Do they come up now?
Yeah, we're happy to take those. Thank you. And we'll see if there's any public comment on item number 5 for 326 Cap Street. Any public comment? Seeing none, I would close the public hearing. Inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that it is, in effect, legalizing a second unit that's existed for some number of decades, apparently, on the property. Project has been reviewed by our residential design team. Requested changes have been made to respect that of the rear yard of the adjacent property. And can move on to the next item.
Item number 6, case number 2016-003609VAR. 335 Diamond Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, 5 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Hewlett Jones. I'm with Jones Haidu. We are the architect for the project at 335 Diamond Street. When our clients came to us, Kevin Sawyers and Pete Steinauer, they were in love with the house primarily for the fact that it had a front open space. The property is situated at the far rear of the lot. The lot is on the northwest face of Castro Hill, an extremely steep street, Diamond, and the lot itself is also upsloping and steep. So the front of the lot has a lot of terrain which would be difficult to build on. The project was added on to sometime in the 80s off of the front, primarily in the front buildable area. The goal for the project is to expand the house slightly to get more bedrooms, more livable space. It also currently has a space on the lowest level, which is separated. There's no ability to connect from the other spaces of the house, so the goal is to also connect through there. Our original meetings with the planning department were favorable in adding at the rear a vertical addition. The rear is a 1.5 story. The upper story is in what would have normally been an attic space converted with a few bedrooms, but it's very, very convoluted spatially and hard to make work. And at the edges of the property, the ceiling heights taper to nothing. Our initial concepts that we showed planning were twofold. One was adding basically a full second floor at the rear, and then some slight modifications to the front to make it more livable and to connect the spaces as well. That versus showing decidedly trying to not build in the variance zone and only build in the buildable area, which made an enormous volume at the front of the property. It was never quite what our clients wanted. It got them the space they needed. So the reasons for adding to the rear versus the front are threefold. First, environmental. We believe that there will be less resources demolished, less resources used. We can reuse elements that are there. Second is, quite frankly, cost. It's much more affordable for them not to have all new foundations for whatever front structure would need to happen. And third is, we actually feel it is the most sensitive way to get the spaces that they want out of the property and to be sensitive to the existing fabric. Both historically, the buildings always had a front open space, and also allows for the overall volume of the building not to increase too much. In showing, we went through RDT process quite extensively, such that we revisited the second proposal of going and adding off of the front. To give you a sense of what those look like, that was the original proposal we had with a slight modification to the front volume and a larger modification to the rear volume versus simply adding off completely at the front. Now, while that may have been made to be altered to have a gable roof or whatnot, it still would have been a much more intrusive element to the neighborhood fabric. When we showed this, we did go through some discussions about how that front volume could be reduced. And one of the things proposed by planning was that we reduce the mass at the rear. That did not sit well with me or the clients, simply because it's usable space. Why demolish usable space? It's an environmental question, among other things. But the idea of trading mass took hold, such that we looked at, this is the existing project. The front of the house is not shown for clarity. The front of the house would be here. We looked at ways of, instead of adding a full floor back there, that's the volume as planning likes to see massing. The red was the proposed area to be removed. Sorry. Red removed, yellow added, and then volumetrically you end up with that. The setback on the downhill side.
So that was time, but if we have any other questions, I'll
ask you. Got it.
Thank you, I appreciate that. Is there any public comment on this item for item number 6335 Diamond Street? Any public comment? Seeing no public comment, close the public hearing.
Thank you.
I appreciate that there's a conflicting code requirements at play here. Certainly under the rear yard requirement, we'd have you demolish the entire building. Under section 317, we would say that you can't do that. You need a conditional use authorization. I think that you've balanced the two, appropriately reduced the massing at the rear, offsetting that with new massing. And obviously the residential design team also supports the project. So I close the public hearing, inclined to grant the requested variance, and we can move on to the next item. Thank you.
So item number 7, case number 2014-002035 VAR, 2140 and 21 up to 2144 Market Street, rear yard modification and exposure variances sought. 5 minutes, ma'am.
Good morning. My name is Ferdinand Ramirez. I'm with Ingram, Waits & Architects. So our project at the rear yard, we are proposing to mainly include the illegal encroachment of the rear properties at Boynton Court. We would like to include that into our calculation for rear yard compliance. Without that 7-foot setback that we are allowing them to keep for their rear yard enjoyment, we would not meet the rear yard compliance. We are also proposing or requesting a dwelling unit exposure variance because that we would be modifying the rear yard. So that's basically it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I understand the issue with the properties to the rear. Will you be remapping the parcels?
Yes, yes. So we are currently working with our attorneys, our client's attorneys and the Boynton Court attorneys to have a legal agreement. That's in motion now. So they will have a written legal document saying that that encroachment is still our property, but they have the freedom to use it with certain conditions.
So it won't be, you won't be changing the lot lines. You'll be potentially having an easement that allows
an easement, yes.
Some restricted use.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item number 7 for 2144 Market Street? Please step forward.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. My name is Daniel Chesser. I'm one of the property owners of 769 14th Street, which backs onto our rear, backs onto the proposed project. And I'd like to quote from section 134 about why the current rule exists. These requirements are intended to ensure the protection and continuation of established mid-block landscaped open spaces and maintenance of a scale of development appropriate to each district, consistent with the location of adjacent buildings. I submit that by granting this variance, As I understand it, the project will be built right up to the property line, and this will interfere with the openness of our back space of our of in effect our the it's the really the adjacent backyard. So I don't think, in accordance with the purposes of Section 134, that this variance should be granted.
Thank you. So are you one of the properties that has the encroachment over this?
No, I think that's Boynton Court, which is right okay. next door to us. We are, I don't know if you have a map, but we're
on 14th Street.
We're lots, it's a three-unit condo. We're lots 46, 47, and 48 on this block.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Appreciate that. Is there any other public comment on this item number 7 for 2140 to 44 Market Street? Please step forward.
You also get 3 minutes, sir.
You ready? My name is Evan Rose. I'm a homeowner in one of the adjacent buildings, and I'm also speaking on behalf of our entire HOA, which includes six units, five of which are owner-occupied. I don't think there are any exceptional circumstances that warrant the variance here. The property owner knew of the constraints of the lot when it was acquired. To the extent they're now arguing that there's a hardship created by other properties encroaching on the lot, that hardship was created by them sleeping on their rights. They didn't protect their own property line. Now they say there's an illegal encroachment, but that's an encroachment that they failed to protect against, and now they're trying to depend on that illegal encroachment to get a variance that would effectively completely diminish the space between those buildings. And that will affect, given that the block itself is small and oddly shaped, the central space is really important to all of the units that kind of back onto that, which the buildings are already in close proximity. So any kind of encroachment that reduces the setback is going to affect all of the neighboring buildings, including the six units in our condo association. The lot for the proposed project is already large. Complying with setback requirements won't prevent the developer from making beneficial use of the property. The building will still be very large, irrespective of whether the variance is granted. There's no suggestion whatsoever that the project wouldn't be able to be profitable without the variance. It might be somewhat less profitable, but we don't think that's a reason to impose the costs on all of the neighboring units that also are all the neighboring buildings that also currently enjoy light and air in their rear yards. I would just stress again that any intrusion into that setback is, especially given the sort of the shape of the block and the close proximity of all the buildings, means that there's a significant effect that's detrimental to all of the neighboring buildings. And irrespective of whether the variance is granted, the building is already substantially larger than any of the other mid-block buildings. So it's going to have a significant effect either way on light and air, and I would urge you to not grant the variance.
Thank you. And which property do you reside in?
I reside in 2154 Market Street, Apartment A. So it's just one door, one building removed from the lot. But we're towards the back of the
To the west, one property to the west.
To the west, correct. But we're our unit's located towards the back of our lot. So any intrusion into we currently enjoy light that flows through the lot. Any extension that into that space is going to really affect our sunlight and air.
So you're, are there two buildings on that?
Yeah, there's a back building that was constructed in, I think, 1890s, and then a front building that was constructed in 1910-ish. And so we're in the rear building.
Which is in the rear yard of that property.
Yes,
property.
And there's three units in that rear building, three units in the front building, and I'm here representing all of our entire HOA.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comment on this item number 7 for 2140, 2144 Market Street? Please step forward. Thank you.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
This is Warner Schmalz, architect for the project sponsor. I'd like to clarify a few things on here because it wasn't...
I think that would be helpful, but I want to see if there's any other public comment because you have time under rebuttal.
All right. Okay.
So is there any other general public comment? So maybe don't step away because I think there's no other public comment. So now you have 3 minutes for rebuttal. And I think it would be helpful to go through the plans and showing where it doesn't comply with the rear yard requirement.
Okay. On the rear yard diagram that's shown, the dark green area is the encroachment area that have over a period of time been built illegally by previous property owners in 1, 2, and 3 Boynton Court. They moved at some point in probably early 2000. That fence, there was a legal property line. They moved it 7 feet into our client's rear yard. Our client has been extremely generous in granting them a revocable easement to use that property. We have letters of support to those three property owners. We've worked very hard to gain their support, and I think you have letters, Mr. Sanchez, about their support. I find it quite disingenuous that this other group, who is not even contiguous to our property, feels that there's any impact on them. We have, in fact, in the rear yard, reduced the rear portion of our building to 35 feet from the 55 feet permitted. And so light and air into the backyard for the Boynton Port people, as well as people on adjoining properties. There is no impact. We've been very generous in reducing the size of our building. We've talked to the people at 2150, our adjacent neighbor to the west. They're supportive of the project. That's Anchor Realty. We've set back our building with, on the side here, with adequate light wells for them. So we've been good neighbors. We've been good neighbors to everybody. And in fact, the victim on this, in a sense, is our client. Everybody thinks they can use his property for their own aggrandizement, and I think that's inappropriate. So we're asking for a variance. It's a very minor variance, really, because there's an extraordinarily large rear yard, and we would just think that's just very normal and practical, and best to approve this very minor variance.
Thank you. And to confirm the portion, as you can see on the plan here, where you're not compliant with the setback requirement is on the east side of the property, not the west side, which abuts.
Yes, it's just this little sliver here where we're less than the 25 feet. But as you can see, there's an enormous area where we're much greater than 25 feet. So, I mean, we're just adjusting it, and our rear yard, in fact, is much larger than 25% if we count the rear
area
of our building.
Yeah, because of the irregular lot.
Exactly, duration. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. With that, I'll close the public hearing, noting this is a rear yard modification and the exposure variance. The rear yard modification is subject to different findings than variances. The exposure variance still needs to meet the 5 findings. I do think that the findings have been met for the rear yard modification and also for the exposure variance, given the lot configuration, the existing conditions there, and the fact that essentially more than the required rear yard open space is being maintained on the property. Would advise that the members of the public who spoke discuss with the project sponsor, maybe better understand the project and its compliance, but certainly this decision would be appealable and you can sign in on the FAR sign-in sheet. And I guess in terms of the Section 312 notice, that has completed, hasn't it? Has it not? Or
312.
It expires on 31st. Okay, thank you. So with that, closed public hearing, inclined to grant the requested rear yard modification and exposure variance, and we can move on to the next item.
Moving to item number 8, case number 2015-011202VAR, 603 Tennessee Street, rear yard permitted obstructions, dwelling unit exposure, and street frontage variances sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. Tom Tunney of Rubin and Junius and Rose on behalf of the project sponsor. As described, there are four requests before you today. I'll go through each of those. The architect is here and available for any questions you may have. Our understanding is that the neighborhood generally supports the requests, but we can see if there's any public comment today. The first request is actually the rear yard modification under Planning Code Section 134E, and we, without going through all of the findings submitted already, I'd just like to amplify a few points. On the rear yard, we're providing 20 feet where 25 feet is required, and that's actually a larger rear yard than most of the existing rear yards on the block, so we're sort of matching the existing block pattern and providing interior courtyards for that are accessible to all residents. Moving to the second request, the dwelling unit exposure, those interior courtyards are also a key factor there. It's the 12 units in the back that don't have the exposure because they're facing that smaller rear yard, but they have a double exposure in that they're facing these interior courtyards. And this design allows us to increase the density of the units overall and also to significantly increase the number of bedrooms in the units. So we think that justifies the exposure request. The second two requests, the first is the glazing in the front, which isn't met, but this has been reviewed by UDAT and approved. The second one, again, these are more architectural issues. Architect can describe if you have questions, but on the first floor variance, we're not meeting the 17-foot height limit, but that was because it was originally going to be residential units, but in working with the neighborhood group, we agreed to provide PDR space on the ground floor, but now don't meet the 17-foot requirement, and also don't quite meet the 75% transparency requirement on the front gate. So with that, I'll conclude. Available again for any questions, and we appreciate your consideration.
Thank you. They're seeking quite a few variances here for the new construction. I can understand in terms of the pattern of the existing development and the nature of the request for the rear yard and for the exposure, but if there could be some greater discussion perhaps of the transparency and the ground floor ceiling mm-hmm. height request and the need for that would be helpful. Thanks.
Mr. Sanchez, my name is Neil Kay. I'm the architect with Natoma Architects. So let's talk about the ground floor ceiling height. When the project was originally proposed and represented to the neighborhood, and there was a ground floor unit, the neighborhood encouraged us to remove that unit from the project description and add PDR space. So the height was initially 12 feet. In order to meet the zoning, as you know, we would have had to have increased it to 17 feet. We looked at that, but because of the increasing the height of the building, but because of our close proximity to public open space, we would have cast a shadow on Mariposa Street Park. So we've decided to keep the building low so as not to affect public open space and decide and therefore need to ask for this variance in terms of ceiling height on the ground floor.
And in terms of the transparency, the requirement
right.
for 75%.
Right. It's unclear to us. I mean, in that part of the code, it says 75% on gates and any sort of grill work that faces the building. So we tried to find a product that met the 75% opening. We, for architectural reasons, we've decided to use perforated metal. We think it's in keeping with other projects we've done in the neighborhood. However, the only product that is commercially available in perforated metal is 50%, offers 50% open space. For it to be larger than that, it doesn't retain its structural integrity. So we would need to find a different product or actually go to a more custom artisanal type stamped metal, which we're open to do, but keeping costs in mind, we wanted to just use an off-the-shelf product.
I mean, is there a different method that you could use for a different material?
We could, I mean, if that became a sticking point in this, we could absolutely investigate that and work it out with the planner.
Okay. All right. We'll see if there's any public comment okay. on this item. Thank you. So we're on item number 8 for 603 Tennessee Street. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, I close the public hearing. I'll take the matter under advisement and we can have further discussions, I think in regards to the ground floor transparency requirement and see how a code compliant alternative can be achieved there, and be generally supportive of the other exceptions that are being sought given the context of the building, but would like to see that transparency requirement complied with. Thank you.
Moving to item number 9, case number 2016-014456 VAR, 80 Linda Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor?
Mr. Zoning Administrator,
yeah.
I am opposed to the variance and my architect is on his way here.
Oh, sorry, if you could step and use the microphone, please. So,
Would you be willing to skip this?
So you're here for 80 Linda and you're in opposition, you're waiting for your architect,
my
your neighbor.
My architect who has material comments
okay.
would aid your decision.
I'm happy to take this item out of order. Appreciate your additional patience so we can have full public testimony on it.
Thank you very much.
But I will say, you know, if he's not here by the end of the calendar, we will be hearing this item, so thank you.
Absolutely.
And if you could signal when he does arrive so we can get this heard as soon as possible. Thank you.
Skipping to item number 10, case number 2016-012625 VAR, 52 Yukon Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. Leo McFadden, project sponsor. Our architect couldn't be here today, so he sent a letter that I will read for you. Dear Mr. Sanchez, thank you for taking the time to review our variance application. We feel that you can make the findings for a variance for the below primary reasons. One, our project mass rear setbacks are in keeping with the adjacent neighbors on both sides, both of whom enjoy setbacks considerably less than what the zoning requires. By allowing for a rear yard variance, we are able to propose a fairly sized house similar in scale to the immediate neighbors while retaining the block face pattern of abnormally large front setbacks. Our design proposes no building addition to the front elevation of the house. Item 3, we are proposing no horizontal extension into the rear yard. For example, the building wall gets no closer to the neighbor to the west along 19th Street. Potential light air impacts to our rear neighbor on 19th Street are negligible as this neighbor enjoys an unusually deep yard and our building abuts their house, not their yard. And the last item is my clients have done the required neighborhood outreach and to date all meetings have been amicable with no opposition to the project. Thank you so much for review and continued assistance with our project. Please do not hesitate to call our office should you have any questions. Sincerely, Eugene Sakai, Studio S Architects. And I do have letters of support from the neighbors if you'd like those.
That'd be great, thank you.
And I'd just like to add that this property has significant front setback as well, like the adjacent neighbors.
Thank you. No, the 311 expired, I think, on the 19th. There were no discretionary reviews from what I understand.
Is that
correct? And is there any public comment on item number 10 for 52 Yukon? We close the public hearing and inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the existing pattern of exceptionally large front setbacks. And that item is done. Thank you. Nice to see you.
Moving to item number 11, case number 2017-003581 VAR, 590 Lombard Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Thank you, Jody Knight from Reuben Junius and Rose on behalf of the project sponsor. We're here today requesting a variance for a 35 square foot area on the top floor of 590 Lombard in order to create a functional 3-bedroom family size unit. As you know, there was a permit approved, an error for the project that allowed expansion of the top floor bedroom that is technically in the rear yard. After approval, structural work was done that involved moving the stairs into the area that we're now requesting a variance for. Once it was determined that the permit was approved in error, this variance request was submitted. The 35 square feet requested is quite small. It's not visible from the street front, and it's the minimum square footage needed to make the circulation functional. This is a family-size 3-bedroom unit. The third bedroom is in that area that requires the stair variance in order to access that bedroom. Again, there's no negative impact on surrounding buildings or the street front. In addition, a pending expansion of the neighboring building would actually change the rear yard calculation so that a variance would not likely be required here. The last thing I want to note is that there were opposition letters received yesterday from various people mentioning evictions for the property. There were no evictions. There were tenant buyouts so that the property could be renovated because it's substantial renovations, interior renovations that required the property to be vacant. But there have not been evictions. And we're here for questions.
Thank you. So the property is currently entirely empty. But they're you saying that none of the tenants were evicted, they were all bought out?
That's correct.
Okay. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item number 11 for 590 Lombard Street. Please step forward. Thank you.
I have copies of a letter that was submitted on this. My name is Stan Hayes. I'm the past president of the Telegraph Hill Dwellers and co-chair now of its Planning and Zoning Committee. And I'm here today on behalf of THD to oppose this variance. I heard what they said about evictions, but that's not true. Here we are, yet another threat of eviction. More long-term tenants bullied and forced out. The cycle continues. Once again, we're seeing affordable homes lost, much higher priced and much more profitable ticks or condos or short-term rentals. Approval of this variance is not only going to reward them further for what amounts to dollars over people behavior, but it's going to encourage others to do exactly the same thing, and the cycle is going to continue. But you don't have to grant this variance. I was a planning commissioner for 16 years in Marin, and like you, we too had to make the same kind of findings necessary to approve a variance, just like Section 305. There are three reasons why I don't think you can make those findings here. First, there aren't any exceptional or extraordinary circumstances that apply to this property that don't apply generally to other property in the area. Though a permit for building expansion may apparently have been approved in error, this can't be considered an exceptional or extraordinary circumstances in the meaning of Section 305. Nor can placing blame on an inexperienced planner who may have issued the permit in error. Second, the hardship that's claimed by the project sponsor was created by them. It's directly attributable to their own action. The costly consequences that the project sponsor talks about are of his own making. They're created by the failure to comply with the rear yard requirements of the planning code. They're not related to any exceptional or extraordinary circumstances that apply to the property, as is required by Section 305. And finally, third, this project conflicts with the priority planning policies 2 and 3. It's in conflict with policy 3 because it represents a loss of the city's supply of affordable housing. Whether these new expanded units are sold as ticks or condominiums or used for short-term rentals is still a loss of affordable housing. And in conflict with policy 2, this project will contribute to the loss of neighborhood character and its cultural and economic diversity. So, for these three reasons, we strongly urge you to deny this variance. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, please.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am. Good morning. I'm Marla Knight. I live in the building right next to 590 Lombard, the 566-570 building. I've watched the potting shed on the top of 590 change into a sizable penthouse over the past 2 years. And I've also seen the appeal hearings rescheduled 5 times morph into a variance, the reason being given that there was a permits had been given in error. And the whole sequence of events is a bit baffling, but be that as may. I find it hard to believe that Mr. Roan did not know that a 311 was required. He owns 2 other properties in North Beach, where he's also forced out long-term tenants to make market rate housing. In 590, he forced out 3 tenants, one of whom was a 67-year-old senior. Believe me, this process, it's either Ellis Act or buyout, and obviously you go with Ellis Act because even as a senior citizen, you get $8,000, and you know how far that goes for rent in San Francisco. The 590 Lombard project has been replete with problems. My landlord, Mark McKaylee, who unfortunately cannot be here, had to call DBI to inspect the property. The roof of one of the three garages that has been repurposed into living space in 590 was encroaching on his property. Not only was it encroaching, it had been affixed to his property. The fence between that garage, what once was a garage, and Mark's property had been removed, which allowed homeless people to get into the building, and they had built fires in there. Rubbish had accumulated. There were rats running around. They had to be called to get that all removed. My landlord, Mark McKaylee, and the owners of the adjacent property on Powell have gone over the plans for the existing building, and they say that it is not, the plans are not what actually exists in the new penthouse. Feels that the plans are the 35 feet variance, but actually the variance is more than 35 feet. I have some photos of the penthouse, but I'm not sure, you know, that's not gonna show you the difference, but that's what I have, which my landlord sent to me. Anyway, I urge you not to grant this variance, because this would be sanctioning the actions of a speculator who has not followed the rules. And this makes it hard for other developers too. So that's what I have to say. I know one thing, I noticed this morning on the way to here that the windows, replacement windows seem to be of vinyl. And as I understand it, that now replacement windows have to be of wood. So I, you know, have an acquaintance who was trying to replace hers with wood. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item?
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Lance Carnes, and I'm a neighbor and a property owner and taxpayer in San Francisco. I just wanted to second the opinions of my two neighbors, Stan Hayes and Marla Knight, that this property owner is not playing fairly. He's driving up the cost of housing in North Beach, driving out long-term tenants. And I'd like to request also that you deny this variance. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? I think probably not. Project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
On the issue of what's constructed being consistent with the variance, obviously we understand that that whatever is constructed there has to be consistent with any variance that's granted. In addition to window, I mean, the correct windows have been installed, but of course we understand that we have to follow the code, and what is eventually will be there will be consistent with a variance if granted. That's all I have, unless you have questions.
Thank you. So are there vinyl windows?
There are not, yeah.
Yes. Okay. And I mean, in terms of, I guess, I'm trying to understand, we had one of the members of public said that what's on the plans doesn't accurately represent what's there. And what's your response to that?
Yes, that's correct. What's on the plans is what's there.
Okay. Then maybe I can get some more information from the member of public who spoke about their concerns that more and precisely detail that. The variance that's being sought is a relatively minor expansion for stairs. Now, in the previous condition, there were stairs from this interior area down to the floor below. Why can't you proceed with that previous layout?
So the issue was under the previously approved permit, there was significant structural work that was done, interior structural work, and there was a structural beam. Now I'm about to reach the limit of my understanding of how these things work, but there was a structural beam put in place that meant that the stairs, so essentially the stairs cannot be moved. Where the stairs are located, they can't be pulled back because there's a beam there, and they can't be in the original configuration. So that's essentially to make the circulation work with the lower level. That's really the only location where the stairs can be, or there would have to be massive structural reworking of the rest of the interior.
Sorry, maybe I missed that in the application, but do you have something documentation from your architect or engineer about that needed reconfiguration? Any details from your architect or engineer about the
structural issue?
Yeah, I'm Mark Rousen. So the question is as far as where the steel beam is?
Because I understand, you know, the argument is that the stairs cannot be relocated to where they were before or to an area that wouldn't require a variance because of the structural changes that have occurred to the property, the steel beam. Do you have anything, any documentation from your architect or from your engineer to that effect that support that?
Right. We have documentation with regards to Santos and Yerusha is the engineer of record. And there is a steel beam just right adjacent to the stairs. So you would have to shift the whole steel beam and the whole wood beam in addition to that in order to make this work.
And
that has to go with the seismic retrofit that we had to do for the whole building. So that means we'd have to go back to redesign the whole building with regards to all three floors.
And I guess I missed that in the application. So do you have that in the application? I didn't. Just some discussion from your, if one of the arguments for why it can't go back to its previous condition is the structural changes that have taken place on the building.
Correct.
For seismic upgrades. Do you have anything from your engineer about why, you know, just to confirm that, essentially?
I can provide all of that.
Okay.
Because that's easy to provide.
Okay, thank
because,
you.
Because yeah, that's the biggest reason why not to move it back. If we had to move it back, we'd have to redo the whole three floors with a steel beam. We could shift it back, but that's something that should have been done from day one.
And I know that under the permit that had been issued in error, and I think part of that was because of the quality of the plans, but you've reduced the envelope as much as you could.
Correct.
From what was approved under those plans.
Yeah, because you're correct. The initial permit that was issued in error, we shifted it back to as far as we could to hit right up above that steel beam.
Okay.
So you're correct. We shifted it back about 30 some odd feet.
And that's already been reduced,
right? That's already been reduced, correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. So I think at this point I will close the public hearing. Take the matter under advisement, and if I could have the member of the public who spoke about kind of the concerns about both the windows and also the accuracy of the plans, if we could have that information, also from the project sponsor, something from your engineer about the inability or what would be required in order to reduce that stair, that would be helpful. And with that, we can move on to back to item number
nine. That's case number 2016-0144-56VAR, 80 Linda Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
And thank you for your patience.
Oh, you're welcome, and good morning to both of you. I have some boards, but now that I see this, I'm going to try to wing it from here. So we're doing a third-story vertical addition with a roof deck, which will be less than 500 square feet. And what we're here today to discuss is a request for a variance to reduce the rear setback. And if you'll just look at the drawings here, you'll see my pen pointing at a pop-out that we currently have on the site. So essentially the structure goes from the front to the back, eating up the entire length. And what we are proposing is over here of cutting off that back pop-out. So we're bringing this thing back to, you know, what everybody wants to see, some rear yard, some sunlight, so both neighbors and our owners can appreciate, you know, green open space and sunlight. With that being said, just to kind of go through rear setbacks, typically 45% of the lot or an average of adjacent properties with a minimum of 25%, but not less than 15 feet for the rear setback. So, In this situation, you would typically average the adjacent properties, but we are at the end of a lot here. And let me pull this one up. Real quick. So this is our structure right here. And then the other properties face, they're 19th Street, so we have a big open yard back here, so we can't do an average of the rear. And I'm gonna show this on my plan. It's a little messier just because I have hand notes. But you'll see this white line that was created here. We drew that on to the Google Maps, and you'll see that seven properties on that line either match or exceed what we're going to be proposing. And again, we're pulling back the structure that's already there. So, you know, looking at the average for the block, which is usually the adjacent properties, we're well within the rest of the block. Let's see. Granting this variance essentially preserves health and safety by bringing in light and air to this property and being able to see green space. The variance will be in harmony with the rest of the block, as you can see, in the neighborhood. And I think it's great for the public that we're pulling this structure back on this and just keeping, you know, the bulk of the house that's there. And that's it.
Thank you. And so the buildings that front here on Linda are only 75 feet deep.
That's correct.
Those lots.
It's a short lot. I mean, there's some other things that I think are exceptional about the lot. But the biggest deal, I think, the 75 feet is an something unique.
The lots that front on Guerrero are at least 100 feet long. I think that they are longer lots
yes.
that front on Guerrero.
Yes, they
right?
are.
And the building, also in addition to the 75 feet depth, lot depth, it does have a fairly significant front setback that reduces the buildable area on the lot, right?
Right.
Okay. And the Section 311 notice has not yet gone out, is my understanding?
It's gone out, we have that posted on the house just recently.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. That's the orange poster.
You've got it. Yeah, and okay. I have a picture.
If you could tell me what the expiration date is on that, that would be
June 22nd. That
okay.
would be just off the top of my head. But we have, let's see here. I don't know that I'll be able to zoom into it. Maybe I can. Oh, yes, I can. Okay, so here you see the two. The two, and then.
Great, and the date on there is.
June 22nd.
Okay. Oh, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll move on to public comment for item number 980 Linda Street. So I know your architect isn't here, but.
He's on his way, so he'll be walking in probably. He was at a school conference 2 blocks from here.
I know it can be hard to get here on time. I'll say that. Who's your architect?
Jim Zach of Zach DeVito.
Okay.
My name is Jonathan Joseph. I'm the owner of the duplex at 3572 and 3574 19th Street. So my rear yard is perpendicular to the subject property, and actually my 25 foot wide lot kind of goes right up to the middle of their home, and their home is built right up to the property line. You had the map up here before. I could point out which home it is, the sky view map. Let me say one that I'm not an expert at this, and therefore,
thank you.
You're yes. Jay?
Yeah.
Hi, Jay.
So this is Linda.
Right, so.
So you're one in from the corner, right?
Yes.
Second building in.
And this house.
And actually, if you could turn and speak into the mic.
Sorry. So this, my home is in the middle of three 25-foot wide lots.
Yeah.
Together, they span the entire southern border of 80 Linda.
Yeah.
I also forgot to mention that I'm speaking also for one of the other neighbors, Ann and Jim Lee, who live just west of my house.
Okay, towards Guerrero.
On towards Guerrero, yes.
Okay.
And they're also opposed to the variance. I started to say I'm not an expert on, I may not use the correct jargon that you guys are used to, but I'll do my best.
Huh?
My understanding is that the actual rear yard setback requirement is 33 feet 9 inches. I believe that you misspoke. In fact, that is the number, the setback is actually set forth on the notice posted on the property. So Mr. Sherlock misspoke, I believe. The area that he and the owners proposed to take out would, my understanding is, leave a 19-foot setback. And then they proposed to add a third floor and a deck that would go all the way to that 19-foot line. That is, as I understand it, a an existing non-conforming use, that it actually, the existing structure extends beyond that 33, I'm just gonna round and say 34 feet for purposes of the discussion. So what they're proposing to do is to create a massive, you know, rather grandiose and inelegant design to maximize the square footage on the property, to basically squeeze every last foot out of it. It would be just under 4,000 square feet. And again, Mr. Sherlock said that they were talking about a 500 square foot third floor addition. I don't know where that came from. I think it's more like 1,400 square feet.
It's a deck.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. So the deck is 500, but the third floor is, I think it's around 13 to 1,400 square feet. So that brings it from around a 2,500 or 2,600 square foot structure to, you know, almost 4,000 square feet. We have, Mr. Sherlock has made himself available for a couple of discussions with either myself or Jim Zak, and I appreciate that. There were some modest changes made, but I believe that the plan before you is rather insensitive to our concerns. My master bedroom and my office, because I work from home, face the structure. So what I would be facing if you allowed the variance would be this massive wall going up, counting the fence of the deck, over 35 feet high. We requested that they set back the third floor 4 feet from the property line to break it up, and indicated that we would not object to their proposal if they would do that. And they, as you can see, they weren't willing to do that. Further, I requested a meeting with the owners themselves. I believe in being good neighbors. I'm not opposed to renovation in general. The owners refused to meet with me. To this day, I've never met the owners. They've never reached out to me. It's kind of incomprehensible to me.
Thank you. So that is quite a bit over time, but I do appreciate and trying to get to understand what the issues are. So I wanted to, is the issue maybe not, I was under the impression, I think, from staff that the issue may have been more about the roof deck, but is it really more about the third floor addition and setting that back from
the side? It's the massive size of this addition. As I started to say, but didn't spit it out very well, because of the non-conforming use, they're basically asking you to allow them to build on top of the non-conforming use.
Yes.
So if, given that they're not willing to do a 4-foot setback from the property line for the third floor, our position is that they should only be permitted to go up to the 33 foot 9 inch line that they would be required to if they were building a new property.
Okay.
So for all these reasons,
That answers my question. Thank you. And but the project sponsor does have a 3-minute rebuttal, and so.
Okay, and maybe like Jim Zak will be here by then.
Here he is, I think so.
Oh, there he is.
So we do have still 3 minutes of public comment.
I wasn't able to go through the five points on 305C. So thank you for.
Jim Zak, I'm the architect for John Joseph. I apologize for my lateness. I was at a fourth grade play.
No problem.
I missed the previous comments, but I just wanted to note what I understand is the requirements for rear yards, and that the drawings that presented are incorrect in terms of establishing the required rear yard. Catch my breath. Section 134C4B discusses how you average when you have a lot condition with neighbors facing other street. You disregard the neighbors facing other street, and you can only apply the neighbor that's on the same street. And then there's another section that describes the method of measurement, which says that if a portion of the building doesn't occupy more than 50% of the width of the lot, it has to be ignored. So in this case, the required rear yard of the neighbor is the actual large bulk of the building. So it's not 19 feet. It's actually somewhere around 31 or 32 feet. So I think the drawings are presented incorrectly and inaccurately. We don't have any south elevations. They weren't part of the package. So it's difficult for us to ascertain the impact on the building. I think that it's really important to note that because of this lot condition with neighbors facing the other street, that the impact of this third floor addition is really quite large on these properties, including my clients. While there are other properties on this block that have third floors, they always are with neighbors directly adjacent to them, and the impact is relatively minor. I think in this case, the impact is quite large. Very early on in this process, when I met the architect of this project at the pre-application meeting, I made some suggestions that they could quite simply reorganize the interior space of the project, namely moving the stair. They have a 2 to 3 foot wide kind of light well in the stairwell, and if they were to eliminate that and move their stair further into the building, they could rearrange the quite large master suite on the third floor, which is the non-compliant component of the project, in such a way that they could hold back the third floor another 3 or 4 feet from the property line. They've done this on the roof deck, but they've not done it on the actual third floor that's not compliant. And if you were to actually look at the floor plan of the third floor, it's a quite gracious master suite. And with a little bit of proper planning, they could relocate the stair on both levels. If you look at the existing plan and the new plan, the stair is pretty much rebuilt completely, so they could just rebuild it and not have this light well, which is a wonderful component to the project, but it's at their benefit at the detriment of my client. So with some minor reorganization, taking a little bit of space away from this walk-in closet that's the size of a bedroom, minimizing some of the components of their master bathroom, they could easily take this encroachment and move it 3 or 4 feet away from the property line. It would not be a difficult thing to do. I could probably sketch it out while we stand here. So I think with a little bit of work on the architect, they could minimize the impact of this encroachment on the neighboring properties, which is significant.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So in terms of, I appreciate the suggestions as well. It does appear that where you're speaking of where the stair is and that light well, internal light well, that's actually within the buildable area, but you're asking to set it back even there?
I think that to allow for them to reduce the massing of the building on the property line, I understand that those stairs are not they are in the buildable area, but to allow them to reduce the massing on the encroachment, they could reorganize the space in a relatively modest way that would allow them to reduce the massing on the property line where it truly impacts the neighbors, not just my client, but the other neighbors to either side of us, particularly the one to the west, in such a way that it really isn't going to cost more money. Just it requires a little bit of brain power at this point in the project.
And what about even keeping the stairs where they are? But
they may be able to do that. I haven't spent a lot of time redesigning his project for him, but I think that the bottom line is it's a quite gracious master suite. They have a lot of square footage in this house. We didn't even discuss that. It's almost a 4,000 square foot house in the neighborhood.
But thank you. That answers my questions. But as another suggestion we can have the project architect respond would be to simply set in the wall of the master bedroom to be in alignment with the deck that was set back above.
Perhaps, yes.
Reconfigure the kind of walk-in closet and master
which
bathroom.
Which maintains the height of the building at the property line more or less as it is now.
All right, well, thank you. We'll see the project sponsor. You have a 3-minute rebuttal.
Okay. So we have been working with these guys, and they've been great. I actually look up to Jim Zach, so it's been a bit of a pleasure, even though it's stressful. If you take a look over here, you'll see a flat area with the stairs coming up in that section, a flat area and a reduced portion in the back. We've taken away everything on that side due to comments from this neighbor and Jim. We've introduced a type of mansard roof, so it's a nice clean slope coming up so that we can meet our roof deck. And I could zoom in a little bit more here. You'll see right there, this whole section from the front of the house all the way on that side to the back has been reduced. Again, we're starting to talk about height limits in places that our variance has to do with the rear setback. And just to bring up the stairs, you know, there are budgets and concerns. The stairs in the garage down at the very ground floor level set everything in motion. If we continue to stack those stairs, we save a lot of space. I can, you know, maximize square footage for a growing family. They just had a baby, so they've not been so available. And they're also going to be having a growing family. To put stairs on the other side, we'd either have to redo the garage downstairs, would be substantial cost. And then to put stairs, another set of stairs on the other side of the house, as they're proposing, would kill space. So again, we want to focus on that rear setback. And let me reiterate this again here. So 45% or average of adjacent properties, which we can't do, or a minimum of 25%. 25%, 75 times 0.25 equals 18.75. We have 19 feet 9 inches. So, and it also says no less than 15 feet. We have been the whole backyard. So we're doing the best we can to get that thing in there.
I understand it. And yeah. Just to clarify, so I mean the basic requirement is 45%. You can reduce it based upon the averaging of adjacent neighbors, which is a bit problematic here. But that doesn't mean that then you can go to 25%. It's the 25% is that you can use the averaging, but in no case can you go, when you have qualifying adjacent buildings, in no case can you go into the last 25% or 15 feet, whichever right. is greater. So just to clarify the code requirement there, it is a 45% requirement. Through averaging, you can reduce it, but to no less than 25% or 15
yeah.
feet.
Yeah, so. I was wanting to say a little bit more with my seconds left there.
Please do, yes.
I was definitely just kind of stating all of the code that kind of plays into it. And with that said, I want to go back to the rest of the block. Again, you'll see me touch these houses as we go down. There's 7 properties that match or exceed where we're proposing to have our building. And again, that building is already built there. The structure's there. We're reducing that pop out in the rear to do the right thing. You know, we can capture that square footage and keep it. But I'm going to point that out again. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, including ours. So that's 7 properties. That fits within the neighborhood. And you know, our neighbors have a 3-story house. And here you'll see 1, 2, 3 buildings. All of those red marks that I have, only 3 buildings are at 2 stories. Everybody else, including our neighbor, is enjoying that 3rd story that we're trying to be shut down for, even though we're supposed to be talking about the rear setback.
So, you know, I think to be clear too, and is that complete what you wanted to say?
There you go. Yes.
Thank you. So, I mean, you know, this is my concern is you are seeking a rear yard variance. It has nothing to do with height per se. It's about an encroachment that you're adding within the required rear yard. You're adding that master bedroom within the required rear yard. And, you know, I fully believe that a variance is justifiable for the property, and I think for the reasons that you've outlined, for the pattern of development, for the lot size, for the front setback, there are factors that justify a variance here. But my concern is the relationship to the adjacent properties and doing something to reduce, to mitigate that large expanse of a wall which is being proposed. And granted, it's only going to be one story greater than what's there now, and you're reducing the overall encroachment at the rear. I mean, I think that those are good trade-offs, and but I, you know, would like you to look at options. And you know, regardless of the outcome of the variance, if the variance is granted, there is the ability to have this as a discretionary view to the Planning Commission, which, you know, may even have more concern than I may have in terms of the design of the project. And that's why I was surprised that the issue isn't so much the roof deck as it is that third floor addition, because, I mean, certainly had the Planning Commission seen a roof deck, they have very strong concerns about that. But I think you've addressed that in part by setting it back at the top level. But I wonder if you could also look at alternatives of stepping back that master bedroom wall. And I don't think that reconfiguring the stairs is entirely necessary, but, you know, with just simply looking at the proposed third floor plan and that master bedroom, just for the depth of the master bedroom, setting that off the property line somewhat.
So you can see here the master bedroom at the top. We have a deck in the back. We've pulled that back, so it's not
right
out in that section. You know, I would say that's a good master bedroom. I don't think that's extremely large. In anywhere that we have popped out, again, we'll go to this section here. We have reduced that whole section. We only have a little pop out on that far side, right? Yeah. And so the master bedroom has been pulled back. The meetings that we've had, we've reduced that. We've reduced this whole side right here. So are you asking us to reduce it more,
or to carry that reduction down to the third floor level? And so, you know, can you look at alternatives where you reconfigure the master bedroom suite to, because it is, you know, a fairly good size.
You're going walk-in for a 4 foot cut,
and I wouldn't go to 4 feet necessarily, but I mean, what I've heard here is even 3 feet, so 2 to 3 feet. And I think, you know, if we can have additional discussions, and I wouldn't, and not the whole way, just always stopping at the wall for the master bedroom. So kind of, you know, just not extending all the way to the stairs.
Okay.
Just where the master bedroom is located. Exactly. Yeah. And just look and stopping there. Yeah. And looking at if there's a way of setting that back somewhat and reconfiguring the master bedroom suite. Because there's a lot of area devoted to the closet and to the bathroom, which is
it's a
wonderful
tight,
to have.
Yeah, it's a really skinny plan. It's a bit difficult, but I would say at that point, then we would just lose the space in the master bedroom. And we're also thinking about the exterior and its shape and what it looks like. And we've done some very odd things and really pulled it in tight to make it look presentable by slicing off the top in sections. So we add another little
notch.
In and out section. It'll be like our fourth one.
Well, can you take a shot at it?
Sure. No, I mean I've taken some shots at it, but would you like that? Is that
that would be helpful. I mean, like as I said, I think a variance is justified here. The concern is the relationship to the adjacent neighbor. It is, you're in a unique situation because the side of this property abuts the rear yards of the adjacent property.
Yeah.
You have taken steps to treat that by setting back the deck, by adjusting the roof, by setting it back at the rear. I understand that, and I would like to see an alternative where, and it could be going further, reorienting the master bedroom and going even kind of further back where that patio is. I know the patio is nice to have, but I wouldn't even, you know, be opposed to going back a little bit further towards the rear and the master bedroom and just looking at some alternatives.
So is that we're talking about now cutting off the downstairs also pulling
back? No, sorry. So where the patio is, that you could recoup some of the area lost on the side by going further.
Oh, but get further out?
Yeah, just kind of where that patio is, just to the, yeah, to kind the rear of, building wall.
Encroaching in this direction.
Yeah. And so just, I mean, I think that you can maybe play with those dimensions a little bit, come up with an alternative, you know, talk to your neighbors.
Okay.
Present something to our staff for them to review as well.
The last time we kind of ran a scenario like this, we ended up with a kind of a sharper wall that looks higher because the roof deck's above, right?
Right.
And so, again, we've softened that the way we're going. So it looks really nice when you're looking at it. It's a nice, clean thing. So, again, if we pull that back, we're going to introduce a taller-looking wall.
And I think, you know, see what can be done with that, and we can evaluate the alternatives, and maybe this is preferred for all the reasons that you're arguing now.
Yeah.
But I think having that alternative to at least digest would be helpful, and it seems to be pretty much in line with what they're asking for, and if it is an alternative that in the end is not preferable for the reasons that you're stating, at least we can have that discussion. But I think that there can be maybe a little bit more done here, more discussion, okay. You know, happy to keep that dialogue.
A couple questions on how I would proceed there, just with everything going the way it's going. But am I getting that straight? If we were to notch that out in that way, or would you guys be still focused on stairs and the rest of the building at the front? I don't feel like it stops here.
I think there should be, and you know, there should be further discussion outside of this room.
Okay.
Seeing kind of what it may be, something, an alternative which they're not satisfied with, and yeah, that can be okay. There can be appeal processes and things like that. Ideally, there'll be some resolution that meets the needs of your client and the concerns of the neighbor. If not, then there is an appeal process to deal with that. So.
An appeal process on my side or that side?
On everyone's. In San Francisco, there's an appeal for everyone. So, okay. So certainly.
Wasn't clear who you were talking about there.
Yeah,
sorry.
So I mean, if the city makes a decision that you and your client don't believe is correct, you can actually appeal that.
Okay, great. I just wanted to clarify that, was that me or okay?
Yeah, and then same thing with the neighbors. If we approve something that the neighbors are not satisfied with, they can appeal it, and we'll all be going to the Board of Appeals and or Planning Commission, depending on that.
Okay, and then maybe you could just educate me a little bit on timing. We have the variance, we have the 311, we'll be working here. How does that play out? Just everything gets extended, or we'll go to another hearing for the variance?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think we do have some time, given we have almost a month till the 311
the 22nd.
Expires. So, you know, I think within the next week or two, if we can get some alternatives proposed that we can consider, we may go ahead and recommend approval of what is before, you know, on the plans today, but I would like to see an alternative before I make a final decision on the variance, and I would like to get the feedback of the neighbors on such alternative. There may be a compromise in there. I feel like you guys have already had meetings. There's already been compromises made. Maybe there can't be any more compromise made, but you know, at least one more opportunity, I think, would be good.
Yeah, I can definitely work on it. Yeah, and then we'll be going between the plan checker, and you'll check in with the plan checker,
yeah,
or
so
am
no
I in
more
touch
hearings,
with you?
So I've closed the public hearing here. We don't need to come back to another variance hearing at this point. But, getting the revisions to staff, and then they can, well, I'll discuss it with them, and we'll get the feedback from the neighbors and go from there.
Understood.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So with that, public hearing is closed.
That's the last item. Yes.
Taken under advisement. Our next hearing is on
June 28th.
Is there any general public comment for items that are not on the agenda today? Do you have a question or? Okay, we'll do that in just a second. So we'll close this public hearing, reconvene on June 28th. Thank you.